Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. Greetings of peace. I was asked a very important question. What do you have to say about the countless, the many terrorist attacks that are being committed in the name of Islam? Well, I want to try to touch upon this in a few different aspects. One is we absolutely 100% categorically condemn any and all terrorist attacks that are done in the name of Islam. This is something that's very clear, and Muslims speak out against this. The mainstream organizations in America and all over the globe have come out and condemned such acts. So this is very clear. Now, not only do we condemn any killing of innocent life, not just one, but all. And now, because certain events are being highlighted, we shouldn't forget about many of the other terrorist attacks that are happening daily in our own backyards. You know, people are being decapitated. You have you ever heard of the Colombian necktie? This is where the throat is being slit. You have terrorist gangbangers in our own backyards who are terrorizing people. And these crimes are committed daily, and many of them, because they don't suit the agenda, you don't see the news media really covering these things. But now we have to admit there are opponents. The Islamophobia machine is a over $200 million a year industry. It's big business bashing Islam. Now I want to take also some accountability. We have to also, one, from one aspect, let me start off with that. We're going to say that Islam, you get a one-way ticket. You understand this? Anyone who is practicing submission to the will of the Creator, the all-loving, the all-merciful God, the same God of Jesus, Moses, Abraham, and the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon them all. If you kill an innocent human being, you land yourself a one-way ticket to the hellfire. And if you were in such a thing, there's no such thing, that's another very important aspect, as the Islamic State. Imagine right now as the Christian KKK somewhere in Alabama got together and said, look, we are starting the Christian State. How ridiculous would that sound? That's how ridiculous it sounds. And we shouldn't just, you know, these new terms are being developed daily and we just bite on them. There's no such thing as an Islamic State. You have the un-Islamic state doing un-Islamic things. ISIS, Daesh, the anti-Islamic state, they who do everything anti-Islam. This is very clear. Because as the Creator is saying in the verbatim word of God in chapter 5, killing one innocent human being is as if you kill the entire humanity. How do you like that one? I mean, this is so deep and profound. You don't find this anywhere mentioned in any other scripture, in any constitution in the world. Saving one innocent life is as if you saved the world. And we don't need some radical hate preacher to tell us opposite of what this verse means. It's very clear. And the consensus of Islamic scholarships is also clear on this. And it's very important that you see that now you've had these radical politicians, hate mongers, hate preachers. It's so easy to divide humanity. Instead of bringing humanity together, you have people dividing us. And instead of giving the platform to those who are promoting peace, you are giving platform to people who are promoting disharmony, disunity, creating fear. And now you have groups being made. And that's what's happening today. If you really cared, if these mainstream media organizations really cared, and they really, you know, the Creator tells us in the Quran, in the second chapter, that there's those who say that they want peace, but actually those are the ones who are the peace breakers, the ones who are promoting the opposite of peace. And that's what you see. You see that if people really, if these Fox News and many of these other mainstream organizations, if they really wanted to solve these problems, what would happen? Why don't you bring on the majority, the 99.9% of peaceful Muslims out there who condemn these acts of terrorism, who condemn senseless violence. No. Instead, they bring out these radical Islamophobes, xenophobes. They bring on these people who have the same interpretation of Islam as the Daesh, as the anti-Islamic state, same as these radicals out there. And no wonder, then groups are being formed. This thug, gang-like mentality is being made. So that's one. So we covered one aspect. Islam is very clear on this. You have a one-way ticket. Very clear, one-way ticket to the hellfire. If you take an innocent life, going into a, you know, I have these, this guy, you know, a Muslim's heart pounds, you know, breaks in sorrow and in pain, you know, because, you know, Islam gets put on the witness stand. Muslims have the most to lose. What does Islam or Muslims have to gain by this? Nothing. And when you have, for instance, let's take, for example, these recent terrorist attacks, and you look at it objectively, you see that this individual who drove this truck, this was in recently in France. The first victim, by the way, was a Muslim grandmother. And again, one innocent life is tragic enough. But the multitude that were senselessly killed, by what? By a person who was sick and deranged, some sociopath, someone who was...
Qui boit, qui consomme, qui fume, qui vole, qui mange, qui travaille. Il est séparé de sa femme, il habite tout seul dans le quartier. Il est toujours sur un vélo. Il va à la plage comme tout le monde. Il fumait du hashish, du shit. Il volait des vélos. Il volait des vélos qu'il vendait à 50 euros, 60 euros. Ça n'a rien à voir avec l'histoire.
Atom Achari, he is believed to be the first killed in the atrocity. The first person believed to have died in the Nice terror attack was a Muslim woman.
Everything that Islam says not to do, he was doing it. So we should really be looking for people who are out practicing, you know, who are fornicating, who are out in the nightclubs, who are out there. I mean, if you want to go by that logic, these are the people that should be surveillance. Because if this psychopath, this sick and deranged evil individual, if he was following Islam, he wouldn't have done any of these actions. Same thing with the person in Florida. If he was during Ramadan, if he was with his family doing Zuhur, if he was breaking, starting his day with the fast, if he wouldn't have been in any illicit relationship, he would have had a family, he would have been a peaceful person, praying to God, seeking guidance and peace, totally away from any nightclub and any of these things that Islam calls people away from. But you see, countless times, anyone who has anything to do with these despicable, despisable acts, his life testifies that he's doing everything opposite to Islam. So we got that out of the way. I want to make this kind of short. I don't want to go on too long. But one, Islam condemns it. Muslims condemn it. It has nothing to do with Islam.
ISIS exists because the United States invaded Iraq and destroyed all the institutions of that country and left it a complete mess. That's a fact. Okay? ISIS doesn't exist because of Islam, because Islam was in Iraq before 2003, and there was no Sunni extremists, there was no Sunni terrorism, there was no ISIS before 2003. This emerged in Iraq because of the United States invasion. That's what caused ISIS. Islam didn't cause ISIS. But if you look at the US media, it's obsessed with getting people to talk about, is Islam the cause of ISIS? Is ISIS because of Islam? Why does it do that? Because the function of media and government is to prevent people from actually, in this case, prevent them from actually reflecting on the actual causes of this phenomenon, which is United States unjust warmongering. Because if people sat there and said, wait a second, we got talked into invading this country, it was a total disaster, now we have this ISIS business, then they might say, maybe we shouldn't go and invade countries the next time we're asked by our government to support a war. That's not what the kind of power elites or the military media industrial complex wants. They don't want people thinking like that. So they have to sit and place the focus on some other cause. Oh, this is because of Islam. They don't want Americans actually thinking about what really causes these things. So when I tell, you know, Muslims or even non-Muslims about this, is don't be bamboozled by what you see on TV. It's very simple. I mean, I know it's obvious, but just because people say stuff a lot on TV doesn't make it true.
The so-called Daesh and these people who are given the platform, better yet, instead of promoting them, because if you were promoting KKK and these militia, these terrorists that are many of them who are out there today, who are the bigger threat, you would see that they would win recruits. You would be actually helping to promote them. And that's what's happening. So now when you have these radical hate preachers who are given the microphone, these politicians and these so-called experts of Islam, what happens? Now you have people, it's either you're with us or with them. You have, and now I'm going to come to the point of Muslims taking accountability. Because what happens is the Muslims are getting educated by these radical hate preachers on TV, and I'm talking about the people on the Fox News and these people who are promoting this division amongst humanity, and now they think, okay, it's that thug-like gang mentality. They're like, oh, this must be the guy's not sitting with a scholar in Islam. If he was sitting, you know, at a madrasa or he was sitting at Islamic university, it would be teaching him that he couldn't do this. But what happens? He doesn't open up the Quran. He doesn't go sit with a teacher, someone of knowledge who's talking about having the best manners, the best etiquettes, being of best noble character, and all the things that Islam preaches and teaches. You know, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he said, I have not been sent except to perfect good manners. Is that good manners? I mean, doing all of these things that are opposite to Islam? You know, the first thing that a person, a Muslim, will be accountable for, you know, if he had innocent blood on his hands. I mean, a human being who wants to get to paradise is going to come to in front of God with innocent blood on his hand. This is ludicrous. It's crazy. But what happens? The Quran in the Muslim's life has been put on the shelf, and when someone dies, they blow the dust off and they read it, maybe just as a ritual, and they're not connected to it. And then they see all of these things that are going on in the media. And now they say, okay, now I got to join one side. This is obviously what they're teaching must be Islam. So now I got to pick. I got to be, again, back to that gang thug-like mentality. So now they end up picking side. Now they end up, because they're already being discriminated, already being ostracized, and because the guy's name is Muhammad, and now he's so what he ends up joining. Now he ends up doing something despicable, something evil, because he's radicalized by who? By the hate preachers, the fox-like experts of Islam who are educating him instead of giving the platform to those peaceful, law-abiding citizens who are out there promoting peace and understanding, giving them the platform to call if you wanted to end this, put the Muslims on the stand, put the Muslims who are out there promoting what Islam truly is about, instead of some so-called experts, let them have the microphone on Fox News, the platform, to call these lost souls, people who have lost themselves, who are as apples as American pie, who are just consumed with the culture, and now, you know, with all the other traumas that are happening in people's lives, who are lost, and somehow they end up doing something that is totally wrong, is something evil. And that's going to be one solution to the problem. That's going to be a means and a way to help put an end to this. So that's one thing. Another thing we have to understand is that along with Muslims, many of them being very uneducated, very far away from Islam, and manipulated by the media, and maybe even and some extreme elements out there, we need to get educated on what Islam is really about, and not from Fox News and not from the media. You have to really start to live Islam, because when you get to know Islam, you live Islam, you see the love that it promotes, the understanding that it promotes, the justice that it promotes, and the peace that it calls one to, a peace that you have with your Creator. Then you have that peace within yourself and society around you. And then you live this way of life that you would dread. You would be having such a ill feeling in your heart to want to bring harm to even an animal, let alone a human being. That's one thing. The other thing is that we also have to understand that there are a lot of things that are cooked up nowadays, fixed up, as one might say, You know, you have people who aren't bought, people who aren't also going along with a certain agenda, who come out and tell us these things, that many of the events that are happening, you know, out in the world, we have to also be weary that there is an agenda being pushed. It was done in the past, and fear, it's being done in the present, and fear is a weapon that's being used. We have to, as intelligent human beings, we cannot be people who will be easily manipulated, just like sheep being led to the slaughter. We have to use the faculties that the Almighty's given us. And you have to ask questions and make that human connection. So for the not yet Muslims, for the people who are out there, for the non-Muslims, you know, don't fall victim, I say, to this propaganda, to this hype that's out there, that's dividing us. We are one human race. You should get to know your Muslim neighbor, ask questions. We have a 1-800 number, 1-800-662-ISLAM, 4752 at the end. Ask your questions, eliminate these fears, and you will see that Muslims, you know, there's so many examples of when people are rioting, you know, in UK, it brings to mind, the Muslims were guarding the non-Muslim businesses. Muslims will be the first to come up and to defend you, because Muslims are some of the most God-conscious people. Muslims who are living Islam. Remember, Muslim is one who simply submits his will to the will of the Creator. He's not talking about harming you. He's not trying to bring havoc to the earth. He's trying to make peace in his life and on earth. So this is one of the greatest delusions that is being perpetuated out there, is dividing us. And another thing I want to tell Muslims now, this is a golden opportunity to share, to do dawah, and some basic things that we can do. One of the most important things is to open up the masjids. For the community leaders that are out there, one of the most effective tools are open houses. For a 2-3 mile radius around every masjid, you should have people going out and giving out information, pamphlets about Islam, dispelling these myths, and inviting people to come into the mosques, the masjids, to learn, to have open houses, to dispel, to alleviate many of these fears. People have fallen victim to this, to the Islamophobia machine and much of this hate rhetoric. And what are you going to do? You're going to sit and have your head in the dirt, in the sand, as they say, and not take this opportunity serious, because you might not have an opportunity next year. As laws get changed, more fear is perpetuated, laws get changed, and now you can't even share this deen that helps to bring purpose to people's lives, to help spread peace. So that's one of the key things that we need to do. We really need to get out and educate humanity, make the human connection. That's one of the greatest ways, is in the masjids, inviting people, having these open houses, 2-3 mile radius out there, giving people the information about Islam, passing out leaflets and flyers, and inviting people, your neighbors who are to the left of you, to the right of you, reaching out to them, inviting them to ask questions. And not being ignorant, knowing how to dispel, also educating yourself on having good talking points that you can go ahead, and when someone brings up something, that you're not just like someone who is struck and lost when something is asked to you about your religion, about your deen. And then when you also know it, you're going to be more convinced of it, you're going to practice it more, and you're going to be far away from hurting, like I say, let alone even a human being. Because again, that's a Muslim's one-way ticket to the hellfire, killing any human soul. And this is just my thoughts I wanted to share with you. Look into Islam. Don't be scared of Islam. It's a way of life that was lived by Abraham, by Moses, by Jesus, peace be upon him, by his blessed mother, that there's a whole chapter named after Jesus' mother in the Quran. And when you see your Muslim, you don't fear those nuns who are wearing hijab, do you? I often challenge people to tell me the color of Mary, the mother of Jesus' hair. We see our sisters nowadays. They go into places and they feel like all eyes are on them because they represent Islam on the outside. people see them with the hijab and they feel this tension in the air. So next time you see a Muslim woman, you don't fear the nun, do you? Who's imitating, who's trying to be one who's dedicated her life to God. This is the same thing that a Muslim woman has done. She's imitating the mother of Jesus, peace be upon her and him. That no Muslim is a Muslim unless we cannot be the Antichrist. These are some of the things that we as Muslims, we don't understand. This is what people are thinking. They think Muslims are the Antichrist. They think that all sorts of crazy and ridiculous things, that simple talking points that you know can dispel these myths and these misconceptions. The next time you see a Muslim woman, don't be scared of her. Be open and be wise enough. Know that this woman has dedicated her life to pleasing God. She's not trying to harm you or anyone in humanity. Ask a Muslim, if you see a Muslim, what he believes, what he thinks. Start a conversation. Make the human connection. We got this 1-800 number there for anybody who has some questions, some fears, some apprehensions. Let me be courageous enough to call us. 1-800-662-ISLAM. And then, why don't you pick up the Quran? Read it. See what it says in context. That's your homework. Meet a Muslim, talk to a Muslim, go into a mosque, read the Quran, call this 1-800 number, and for the Muslims, get to know your Islam. Don't just pick it up off the shelf when someone dies as a ritual, blow the dust off it. Get to know your religion. And give the platform to those who advocate for peace. The 99.9% of Muslims living in America, give them the platform if you really want peace. Let them call those lost souls who might have been radicalized. Let them call them back to Islam if you really want that. Don't invite the so-called experts who have more in common with the un-Islamic state. And then you're wondering why people are getting radicalized, picking sides, joining like a gang, that gang thug-like mentality. We're here to help. We're here to spread that message of peace by sharing and educating. And in short, I try to make it concise. I hope some of the apprehensions that you might have had, they've been alleviated. Continue to watch The Dean Show to learn more. Call us, and we start with peace, my brothers and sisters. And that's what we look to have with our Creator first and foremost, the one God, the same God of Jesus. You can't be a Muslim unless you love and revere Jesus as one of the mightiest messengers God Almighty has sent. I always say it. That should be a unifier to bring us together. And he greeted his followers with peace, and we started with it, and we wish peace upon you and peace for all of humanity. And let's be people who advocate peace, not just by lip service, but by action. We'll see you next time. Until then, assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you.